All right, let's convene this meeting. I'd like to call the University Council meeting to order. And first order of business would be, I think, to welcome at least one new face down at the end of the table. And Nick, you want to introduce who's to your right?
Sure. This is Gary Roth. Gary was elected in the GSO elections last month as the new graduate student representative to the University Council. Gary is a two-time alumnus of the university with a bachelor's in environmental sciences and a master's in environmental health, and he's currently a PhD student studying the health and safety of nanotechnology over at CNSC.
That's great. So,
you guys are in good hands.
We figured after the second time you would have realized, you know, I'm not coming back.
Good job. Great. You know what's going through those pipes, don't
you? I'm glad to know there's somebody in health and safety watching.
So now, is he formally seated and you're out? Should we move you to a chair on the back row, or what are we doing here?
I thought it would be good to have him come and see how the meeting goes without pressure
to perform. Great. Well, welcome. Yeah. Wonderful. Hi, H. Ramey. How are you? Didn't see you come in. Stuck through.
Of course. He's ready.
You know, he looks like he's been moving duffel bags or something today.
I have.
He must have gotten his Facebook share allotment. Look how casual he is.
It's moving day, so.
Well, welcome, everybody. I guess the first official order of business is a review of the meeting minutes from last meeting. And I don't know if anybody has any comments or observations. And if not, I would welcome a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
Make a motion.
Second.
Can we make a correction?
Sure. That's the first thing. Absolutely.
It's at 3:05. I think it was 2:05.
I'm sorry, where?
That's good.
Wow.
Who did that?
Good catch. Oh, my gosh.
You changed the clocks back.
Yes, change it to 2:05.
That was just to see if anybody read it. Good job, Abner.
Was that daylight saving time?
All right. With Mr. Jean-Pierre's correction noted, can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
There was a second in there.
Got it.
Okay. Yep. Okay, wonderful. I guess it's commencement weekend, obviously. There are a lot of things going on. I know people are here not just today, but over the weekend. And there's a fullness of activities, which is really fun. I mean, it's great to see everything in full spring. But also, because of that, I know people have various commitments around campus. And while we can't control the meeting flow, I think we'll try and be somewhat cognizant of time. And I know George has got a couple of commitments. So we're going to move to report from the president, Mr. Phil.
Thank you. Well, your last meeting was March 9th, and we've had quite a bit of activity since that meeting. Most recently, and quite excitingly, we had President Obama visit our Nano College. It was a great day for the university. It was a great day for SUNY. Among the lines that the president presented was that you have an outstanding university. Now I want what's happening in Albany to happen across the country. I think that you, meaning us, I think that's terrific. The program went very well. The president was, as always, very glib and articulate and did a wonderful job outlining his little checklist. And, you know, we saw 1,000 links. The university was mentioned in 1,000 different links as a result of that visit. So that gives us great visibility, and that's something that we could always use. We had a very nice president's breakfast here, again, a week or so ago, where we had Craig Hadkoff, who is a co-founder with Robert De Niro of the Tribeca Film Festival. It was a really good event. He did a great job in terms of his remarks. He also had a town hall meeting as part of it over in our Performing Arts Center, and he did a terrific job. As it was one of my multitasking days, so I never made the town hall meeting, but I understand it was terrific, and they did a very nice job. It was the purpose was to launch Upstate New York Screens, which was a initiative aimed at bringing together the humanities and the cinema arts to spur economic development in the region. And it just so happens that last week we had a partial filming of a movie in the Stockade in Schenectady, I think HBO movie that was being filmed there. Another interesting note with the Tribeca Film Festival.
Is that John aboard, by the way?
John Fallon, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Okay, welcome. John.
Hi, John.
Good.
Thanks. How are you?
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Anyway, we have a program that you are aware of. It's our SEED program, which is a program which provides for small business people to get loans based on a business plan and a good reputation. There's no need for collateral. They just need a good idea, and they just need to be solid citizens in terms of this. Our School of Business helps them develop a business plan. Our Small Business Administration program helps them develop the business, the logistics of the business, and we provide them with loans. There's more than through CEFQ, more than $700,000 in loans have already been granted. Someone mentioned this to Craig Hatkoff, and he thought it was a terrific idea and submitted it for a Tribeca award.
Cool.
We won. Fardeen, is Fardeen in the room?
Yeah.
No. Fardeen went down to accept the award. There were two other universities that were represented. One was Stanford and one was MIT. And the university, and I hate to admit this, but there was also a young man that was recognized that apparently was the hit of the thing. They told me his name was Justin Bieber. I didn't know who that was. But I'm told he's a big deal. He's like 12. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm told he's a big deal.
You're the
closest to 12 of the group. But in any event, he too was honored at the event. And I think the crowds were there for Fardeen.
And Fardeen has like a hammer made out of an AK-47.
Well, there's a hammer. The award is actually a working hammer with a piece of an AK-47 embedded in the handle. And they explained the significance, but it has to do with the proliferation of AK-47s in third world countries that have created all of this chaos. And so they're putting an AK-47 to a better use.
Okay.
Type of thing. But in any event, whether the crowds were there for Fardeen or Justin Bieber, we're not sure.
Where's
Fardeen,
the bees?
We were just talking about you. I was mentioning that the crowds at the Tribeca Award were there for you.
Yes, me and Justin, what's his name, Bieber?
So in any event, that was a very nice and unanticipated honor that we received. We had our 12th annual research colloquium, which was focused on smart and green energy research. I attended, and I will tell you that Jim Diaz, our vice president for research, did a terrific job hosting it. We had four of our faculty speakers, and believe it or not, I actually understood almost everything all four said.
Wow.
They were able to communicate in such a way that an idiot like me could understand it. It was an excellent colloquium, and it... it's just an example of some of the really good work that goes on at this university. We have a Center for Women in Government.
George, this is the award.
Oh, there it is. There's the AK-47.
It's a piece of AK-47. It's the award, so I'm going to put it here. This meeting doesn't get too contentious.
Put a hole in the table with that one.
That's a little scary.
Our Center for Women in Government is partnering with the State Department to advocate for Ugandan women. The center will be teaming up with the State Department to investigate and improve Ugandan policy and retain women in public service. The project culminates with a retreat for women legislators in Uganda, and the purpose of that retreat will be to share the findings of the study and to form a legislative women's caucus to provide organizing structure for women in Uganda for the future. The funding for this is partially provided by Hillary Clinton, a program that she launched in the State Department as part of Women in Public Service project, but it's an excellent honor. The Center for Technology and Government is partnering with New York State Cybersecurity Office to identify broadband internet capability and access across the state. They'll be gathering information from community anchor institutions such as libraries, schools, hospitals, police and fire stations, and the like. They are looking at places where citizens lack home internet or access to broadband, where the internet connection is critical for public services that are provided by institutions. It's part of a five-year national data gathering and mapping program funded by AARA, America Recovery and Reinvestment Act. UAlbany students were selected for UC Berkeley's Public Policy and International Affairs Fellowship. Amari Munoz, a public service major, and Kalima Johnson, a communications major, were among 30 national awardees for inclusion in the prestigious Public Policy and International Affairs Junior Summer Internship Program at UC Berkeley, which is quite an honor for both of our students. Congratulations to our women's lacrosse team, who managed to win the America East for the second year in a row, go to the NCAAs. We're seeded against the number one ranked team in America, which is University of Florida, and lost 7-5.
Wow.
It was 6-4. 6-4. 6-4. And we went down 4-0, right?
Yeah,
we were down 6-4. So that's a tremendous achievement. Last year, they actually won their first round game, and we're in the national semifinals. So that's great. Our track program, as someone mentioned earlier, once again, for our fifth or sixth year in a row, I'm not sure how many years in a row, we've won the America East, both men's and women's championship. And who just told me that our 4x4 team just qualified for the nationals?
Right here. Wow. Yeah, the girls, the women's team set a school record and qualified for the NCAA regionals down in Florida. 4x4.
4x4. Okay. We had our alumni awards for excellence. I'm trying to remember. April, and the 28th of April. That was a terrific evening. We gave out a number of awards. It was, to be really honest with you, I was. It was one of the more inspiring nights that we've had. We had a we had the founder of Chobani Yogurt, who did a terrific job talking about he bought a farm, a distressed farm in New Berlin, New York. Had 55 employees. They had all lost their jobs. He managed to retain five of them, and with that cadre of distressed farm and five employees, created Chobani Yogurt. Now he employs at that same facility 1,200 employees, and it was a terrific story in terms of, you know, what you can do with a little drive and a little you know, local support and very little monetary support. And he created a terrific program there. He's done a great job. We had a police officer from New York. She was captain or something now.
Yes.
But she was a hero of 9/11. She gave terrific remarks, along with virtually everybody that was awarded. Their remarks were inspiring. It was a great evening. We held a 7th annual College of Computing and Information Research Conference. The emphasis at that conference was student research, which I always enjoy. I also went to our undergraduate student research poster demonstrations over at the Life Science Building. Susan and I try and go over as much as possible. And I actually make believe when the kids are describing their projects to me that I actually understand. So I nod a lot, and I have no clue as to what they're talking about. I mean, it's incredible how these kids do a wonderful job. We celebrated the latest addition to our world-acclaimed National Death Penalty Archives. We now have the David Baldus collection. He is one of the renowned researchers on the death penalty. He was very involved with the Supreme Court decision, the McCleskey versus Kemp, which is partially overturned, which is good because it was a bad decision. In any event, he passed away, and the family has donated all of his papers to the university. We are the premier archive for that purpose. I'll go quickly through this. Oh, more important, we had the 16th annual Campus Cleanup and Beautification Day. 580 volunteers turned out, and we had 380 rakes working, 95 shovels, and more than 25 rooms. Hey, this is important.
Somebody counted.
We spread over 140 yards of mulch. We rolled out 250 square feet of sod. We planted 8 lilac trees, 4 rows of charan, 2 mock oranges, several juniper shrubs, 30 flats of pansies, dozens of hosta, and removed nearly 120 yards of leaves, branches, debris, and other materials, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Who writes your material, George?
Very hard work.
No OSHA claims, George?
No, none. Okay. We signed the UN Sustainability Declaration on April 19th, which is the appropriate day. It's a pledge for our university to teach sustainable research, environmental issues, and green our campus. We broke ground for our new $24 million sports complex and announced the campaign for the Bob Ford Field. An exciting, and if you're driving around, if you look at the fields next to the construction site, they've all been redone already. And they will be ready for our visitors. The Giants will be arriving on campus July 26th. And we'll start practice on July 27th. If any of you are interested, either talk to the next guy, depending on how fast the search goes, or talk to me about getting sideline passes or whatever you might need to attend the Giant practices. They are fun, especially if the weather's good. They're nice to walk around, and you'll realize that as big as you think you might be, walk next to one of those little kids that are oh my God, they're big guys. We had we hosted the 2012 Relay for Life. I'm particularly proud of that because they actually raised over $100,000 this year, and that brings their total close to $700,000 in the 7 years that they've been doing it. It is a terrific event. When I was there, there were 1,500 or 1,600 students that were there. I'm told that throughout the period of time, there were many more than that. There wasn't a single media representative or camera in the room, but our kids did a terrific job, and they did well, and they had some fun doing it. We did the 2012 President's Excellence Awards, where we made 17 awards to a distinguished group of both faculty and staff, and we had 10 students honored with the Chancellor's Award for Student Excellence. Had the honor of participating in that, and our kids, as always, were great. And finally, the commencement ceremony is tomorrow. As you know, tomorrow's speaker is Tom Constantine, who is an alum, former superintendent of state police, former director of the Drug Enforcement Agency under President Clinton. He's an interesting guy. You'll enjoy him. He used to be my golf buddy when he was complaining about the state police, then he became the superintendent. And on Sunday, the celebrity will be Judge Judy, who is a mother of 3 UAlbany alums.
Wow.
And was also the head of the parents' organization while her children were here. And she should be extremely, she should be very interesting. So that's it. I went longer than I wanted to. So any questions?
Good job on the weather.
George, weather was my doing.
Yeah.
one question.
Yeah.
In the community engagement, we kind of tally up the hours that the students, you know, donate and contribute and multiply it out, et cetera. Do we do the same with those that raise money for charities? It's got to be into the hundreds of thousands of dollars the students all throughout the whole university raise, just at this campus and then all of SUNY. It's got to be.
Well, in all of SUNY, it's a large number. I think, first of all, as most of you know, we've received the president's, we're on the president's honor roll, the president, Obama,
right.
Honor roll for community service for the last 2 years. I think we had more than 7,500 hours of documented community service for this year. The dollars, I'm not sure of, but it has to be in the, it could approach $1 million.
For the community service, and then also
and the
contribution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the, significant. They do, like I say, $100,000 alone for the Relay for Life. So it's got to be a lot of money.
Okay, thank you very much, George. Any other questions for George? All right. Go to business casual, Mr. Price.
He's going to take shots.
He's at the door.
I don't have very much to report. We did just have a few weeks back had our Park Fest, our students' major spring concert, which we had about 2,500 in attendance. That was right out here in the front where our commencement is at now. So we had about 2,500 in attendance. President Phillip did show up as well.
I bopped.
That went very well. We narrowly missed having to get shut down due to lightning, but we continued. It started raining, but students were still out there in the rain, just standing out there listening away. So that went very well. I think we raised about $40,700 from that concert, some of which I believe will eventually be getting donated, I think, to the American Cancer Society and something else. We also just had our Out of Darkness Suicide Prevention Walk last weekend before last, which also was very well attended. They raised quite a bit also. We had Autism Walk a few weeks before that, so we got quite a bit of money raised to go towards autism research and into that stuff as well. So in the whole, our students have done an amazing job this past year in terms of community service. Student Association alone, we've had a ton of different community service events and programs that we've done. We've built some pretty good relationships with Albany High School, getting our students and our student groups down there to the student initiative, which hopefully our new student administration will continue next year and expand on it if they can. But that's been very, very successful in getting our students connected with the high school students at Albany High and in the area. So we've had a lot in the way of community service this year. So it's been a really good year. So next year's group will have a lot to live up to. But this is pretty much my last official act as an undergraduate student leader on campus. So just want to thank you all. I've had a great time. It's good working with you all this past year. And aside from commencement, this is my last act as a student leader in my undergraduate career. So
what's
thank
your
you
next
all.
Step?
I'm applying to graduate school here, but I have some
Another
other
one.
Opportunities. Yeah, I have some other opportunities that have come up recently through some family relationships. I'm looking into those, so still got options.
Trey is a gem. I mean, I got to the point where I saw Trey more than I saw my wife. That doesn't mean I saw Trey that much, but he's been a real solid citizen at this university for a long time, and he happens to work here in the building, so we get to see each other, but he'll be sorely missed. Thank you, Trey.
Congratulations. Andy? Next update?
Okay. In terms of faculty concerns, interests, situations, topping the hit parade, of course, is a continued interest in the presidential search.
I wonder why.
And its progress.
I'm sure.
They also continue to express concerns regarding the facility's master plan. Again, I'm not addressing, these are faculty concerns, I'm simply letting you know where the faculty stand here. On the good news front, the general education requirements, the new streamlined version, they were approved in the last Senate meeting, and the amendments were not approved, so it stands as a 30-credit undergraduate requirement for general education. And those will begin to be rolled out in the fall. Susanna Fessler has done a terrific job as the Senate chair, bringing order and process back to the Senate. And there are a few senators who continue to revisit old business and events, but we're hoping that eventually that will cycle itself out.
It's up to the search committee.
Right. Yeah.
I'm the old business they keep bringing up.
Christine Wagner was voted in as the incoming vice chair, so she'll be the faculty rep next year here, and I'm sure you'll all really like her. She's really wonderful, calm, and additional presence for the Senate, I think. And so my goal is to not screw up what Susanna has started until Chris can take it over next year.
Good luck.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
One point on the Gen Ed, the purpose of the changes in Gen Ed, one of the purposes is to make it easier for our students to graduate in the 4-year period. And the idea is not to encumber them with so many requirements that are difficult to get into, so that they'll have a hard time, you know, getting through their required courses and their major courses, in the allotted period. Because the graduation rates over 4 years have declined because of lack of access. So this is actually a very good thing in terms of helping our students to graduate, you know, more timely.
And it was really carefully thought out by the committee. It's really a 2-year process, and even more of that prior. So it's been almost 3 years since this started. It was not without some bumps in the road, and there were lots of compromises and streamlining that occurred. And of course, some of that created some blowback. But we're hoping that that as people actually read the document and read all of the work and all of the data that President Phil just referred to about what was actually happening to our students versus the ideal goals of the last Gen Ed, they will appreciate and begin to embrace the new streamlined model that will help our students, I think, overall.
Great. Thank you.
What's the biggest change? I mean, I'm just curious, what kind of got streamlined out?
The reality was that in the old model, while it was a SUNY mandated a 30 credit minimum, mm-hmm. our students were averaging between 37 and 45 credits of general education to fulfill all of the various requirements. Okay. In addition to the SUNY mandated requirements, we had 9 credits, I believe, of local requirements. So even if a student graduated with an AA from another SUNY college, when they came here, they had to take an additional 9 credits beyond.
Get a major in 2 years.
Exactly. Yeah. Very difficult. In fact, and also there were not necessarily enough courses in those particular local requirements for them to be able to take. Plus, we had a somewhat more robust language requirement than, again, the rest of SUNY, so that we were making it difficult and actually disadvantaging ourselves, I think, in terms of getting transfers, and certainly in terms of getting people out in time. So.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Andy? Nicholas?
So the Graduate Student Organization is also finishing up an active year. We held our annual elections last month, like I mentioned with Gary. Next year's president is someone named Thomas Devlin, who's a master's student from the School of Business. He's also an alumnus of the university from Rockefeller. He's been active on campus in the SUNY-wide Student Assembly. Our vice president will be Genevieve Kane. She's a PhD student in nanoengineering, who also graduated from UAlbany with a double major in physics and music. She served as president of our graduate student organization at CNSC and helped found the UAlbany Society of Women Engineers. Our treasurer, is Racine Ghianicelli, who's graduating this year with his MBA, continuing his PhD in informatics. Angelina Bullock will be our MCAA officer, who is studying Africana studies and comes to us from Xavier. And our lead senator, who is the one who is the liaison between the Graduate Student Organization and the University Senate, is Karen Torjan. She's an active student leader from the class of 2010 at UAlbany, double majoring in physics and chemistry, also a PhD student at CNSC. Now, the reason I bring this up is a lot of our officers, as you can tell, are alumni who are choosing to stay at UAlbany as graduate students. They're active on campus. They care about this institution. And it means a lot to me because I have an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, a brother, and a fiance who have all graduated from UAlbany. This place means a lot to me. It means a lot to them. So I think you'll see a lot of really great things out of them next year. And I'm sure Gary will report all of the great things that they're doing. It's been a fantastic 2 years working with you all. I'm at 8 years now, not 43. You all have been nothing short of amazing.
Felt like 43.
Sometimes. So thank you all, and you guys keep up the good work running Grid University.
And I will tell you that I've known Nick since the day I arrived on campus. Actually, I know Nick since we were on the council many years before you got here. But at the end of the day, Nick has been a terrific citizen as well. Worked really, really hard. We've forgiven him his transgressions back going across the street, but he is everywhere you go, whether it's the Faculty Senate, whether it's Nick is involved. He has been the consummate university citizen. So I thank you, too, personally.
Well done.
Okay.
Well, as usual, show and tell. T-shirts next time.
Every time.
You get a lot of new members this weekend. So
we do indeed. Wait till these go around. We have a labor of love in front of you. This is our annual report put together by the staff. And I'll walk you through it just briefly. First of all, the little faces you see on top are all taken straight from alums' Facebook pages. And when you enter our office, you will see the entire group are all on display. And so it's quite nice when someone comes in and they look for their picture and so on. Now, as you can see, we basically did program highlights. We put facts and figures to our actions. So if you flip over, you'll see the Fifth Avenue Gala picture from that was held thanks to actually someone, Mary Johnson, in Bardeen's shop that came over to us and said, can we get together and do something here? And so hence that Fifth Avenue Fashion, immense success on that. George mentioned the awards. If you look on the right-hand column in a green column titled the Alumni Association Excellence, those are the awards we gave out this past year. And I discovered in talking to Pierre that, and I passed around a program for you to see, I wasn't aware that you weren't invited. It is one of our best-kept secrets. I'm trying to change that, but rest assured you will receive an invitation next year.
Some of us got invited. So
yeah, I think.
Thank you.
They're on our list. They should have all been invited.
I know I was.
Tom actually didn't apply.
Oh, he's honored committee. Sorry, that's what he was referring to.
Oh, all right.
Okay. And then you'll see our three new board members, and thanks to Patty, we have Rochelle. She nominated.
She'll be great.
She is terrific. She is terrific already volunteering. And then lastly, the board and so forth on the back. Just a quick little backstory on this, because we have been questioned about it. It's interesting. I'll give you Lee Saraville, our wonderful executive director. I'll give you his version of it. If he was presenting this, this is what he would tell you. Well, Kay and I had a discussion, and we decided that I would do this part of all the facts and figures, and she was just going to write a little intro to the whole thing. Well, I guess I don't know the word intro little. So I wrote an epistle, sent him that. I never heard anything. Then sheepishly one day, hi, Kay, Lee, you know, due to your letter, we're going to have to move a few things off the page. We got to move the whole board off the page, put them in the back. I said, that's okay, Lee, no problem. Well, but we have to then eliminate a few paragraphs. So hence, the whole thing was rearranged. And what we decided was that to justify my lengthy letter, we said that explains each of the facts in here. So that's what a diplomat he is. Anyway, so that was that. Let me give you a quick update. I think I passed these around before, but just in case people want to see it again. We're really excited. Our UCAN thing, that's the University Career Network, is really taking off. What we're doing now, we're in this phase of recruiting faculty. As you know, we want to have a minimum, and we will have a minimum of 12 alumni and some alumni faculty who will be doing academic advisement online with our students and young alums. And Lee came up with a wonderful idea. We're implementing it. We're going by segments. So as we speak, the School of Business dean is sending just to School of Business alums and saying, hey, can you join this for 15 minutes? Get online. Now, and we're going to phase that through the month of June. Lee McElroy will be next, writing to the athletes and so forth. So I'm sure we're going to have our number. Once we have those in place, then in the fall, we're ready to launch a marketing technique that we put in place for all the undergraduates, sophomores, juniors, seniors, and grads. So we're pretty excited about that.
If I may, one of the main reasons that in many of the strategic plannings that we have with the Alumni Association, things came up is, as many of you know, I've said before, one of our greatest challenges in fundraising is getting the doors open to us. There are class of 70, classes of 80, that they haven't heard from us in many, many years. And all this, because they've never been engaged. And all the studies that we've seen show us the key to engagement is of our students and our alumni is the last 2 years, the first 4 years.
and what do they need the most those 6 years is a job. And that's what we are doing. And this is a service to our students. And also, for a change, many of our successful alumni are not getting the call for just money. It's for their expertise and what they can do for the students. So that's one of the reasons that we are so invested in this, and Alumni Association has been a tremendous help with what they've done. And as we said, the Dino School of Business, the McElroy, and
everybody,
the deans, they all been
the
very, very
wrong.
Helpful to us.
Yeah, it's fabulous. Fabulous. They jumped right on it. They could see the help and so forth there. Okay, thanks, Vardeen. Let's see, what else? At our last meeting, we have four board meetings here. We honored George. We, of course, are hoping and praying that the new person is selected maybe in 20 years or so. But anyway, with reality facing us, we passed the resolution. He is now one of four board member emeritus. As you know, he once served on the board and then ex officio now. So as I said, he epitomizes all that is good about this university. No question about it.
Thank you, Kate.
And that's my report. Any questions?
Well, okay. I think it's odd, put it under old business, recognizing I think that the people who have served us so well and are moving on, but you have in your packets a resolution for each of Tremaine, Nick, and Andy, thanking them for their wonderful service on the council and to the university, and they've been tremendous participants and contributors to the council. I'm hoping that in each of those categories, you know, faculty, undergraduate student, and graduate student, that we can get people who can make as much of a contribution and be as distinguished servants. So thank you all, and with that, there's a resolution for each of you, and maybe we could get somebody to advance first, or a resolution for the young gentleman to my left, Mr. Price.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
Next up, for Nick.
Honored to do so.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
And we'll save the theater last for Andy.
The dramatic.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I get a resolution?
Yes.
Okay. Second. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Congratulations, all, and thank you. Well done.
Just
have
them ready.
Yeah.
Proof that you guys are here.
Right.
Thank you again. Next up, the ubiquitous farting.
Ubiquitous. We had a very good quarter this month with our major guests. One of our largest gifts that we received this quarter was a $250,000 scholarship from Steve Zellin. This was Steve's second $250,000 gift in about 2.5 years. The scholarship is unique in a way because it's for a student athlete who is attending the School of Business. And both the Dean of School of Business and Dean McElroy have been very helpful, and of course, George and Steve have become pretty good friends over the past 4 years, and there's no accident that these two gifts came during George's stay. They were his first gifts. And also, Steve's son, who's going to Syracuse, is going to be interning for the Giants. I don't know how that happened, but I guess. So if you have any siblings,
he has a few other connections too.
See me. And we had a $100,000 scholarship from one of our alums in Boston area, and CEFCU once again gave us $100,000 for business plan competition, and. And of course, Saul, as always, has been hard at work. We had a number of requests that came in. And Ted Anderson, who's our chair of our development committee for the board, he has been very generous over the years. Just over the past 6 weeks, he gave us a $25,000 gift for baseball and raised another $25,000 for baseball. And his son is playing baseball for us.
And working for the Giants.
So that's where the affinity comes from. And we are very happy with the feedback that we received. about our alumni magazine, and I hope you all received it. We mailed it to 28,000 alumni, and we hope someday we'll be able to mail it to the entire, once again, to the entire 155,000 alumni. And Alumni Association have helped us with a successful event, as Jay mentioned, at Saks Fifth Avenue. And also, I think we're working together with the Alumni Association and the admissions office has been a tremendous, it's created a tremendous excitement among my staff and many of our alumni for accepted students. We hosted over 10 events in different areas of New York State, Connecticut, New Jersey, and we hope to have about 12 to 14 more. And I have heard that we had very nice alumni gathering in Korea, and they do two annual events, and they do it on their own. The Korean alumni are very organized, and they've been doing it for years. They have one holiday festival, and there's another one they do they have a picnic. About 150 to 200 attend.
Wow.
And John Pomeroy, who's our international recruiter, he goes there for international recruitment. He has great relationship with some of our alumni, and the Alumni Association sends gifts and all the other trinkets and magazines to his hotel, and so it's very well received. And also, we just formalized today our conversations with our alumni from Cyprus, who is class of 1984, who his son is graduating on Sunday to form an alumni chapter in Cyprus. We have over 150 alumni.
Wow.
And we had an event there.
In Cyprus?
One year it was the source of the biggest source of international students on campus. We've had relationships with them for many years.
Oh, yeah. It's a Cypriot pipeline.
We had an institute.
I had a few friends.
College students are there in Cyprus altogether.
Actually, 99% of the high school graduates in Cyprus that go to college, they go overseas.
London.
And but we didn't go there for 11 years for recruitment because once they joined EU, the tuition was about $2,200 to go to London, but if you into England. But if you recall, not the riots, but the demonstrations last year in England, the tuition now is about $19,000 to $26,000, depending on whether you're in London or you go to Manchester or some place. So we are once again competitive in that area. And given that we have such a great reputation in Cyprus, and we have four ministers that UAlbany grads, and the alumni events that we had there, we had 110 alumni come.
Wow.
It was just tremendous. So this
are we on the Greek side of Cyprus or the Turkey
Greek.
Side of Cyprus?
Oh, Greek side.
Okay, just trying to...
Don't make the same mistake I did when I went to school. I had a friend that was from Cyprus, and I called, I thought he was Greek, and it took 4 months of me apologizing for calling him Greek.
That's why I was asking, just to understand which part.
Well, Mike roomed with a Greek Cypriot.
I did.
Harris Bastides, yeah. Who is now the Chancellor of the University of South Carolina, alumna of the university.
So that is my report, and thanks again for all of you who supported different causes on the campus.
Thank you.
Yes. The accepted student receptions that you do, are those hosted by alums?
Some of them are hosted by alums. The one in Westchester County is hosted by an alum at his house. And there's other, the one at Deloitte is hosted by Jeff Black.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But
we do two in the School of Business.
Yeah, for the School of Business. There are others that are hosted maybe at a hotel or a convenient place. Once again, these are students who have been accepted, but we have not been able to kind of hook them to definitely come in. And we invite our alumni to come. That's more, I think, our alumni come to impress the parents.
Yeah.
Because the students. So it has been very, very successful, and we hope to build up on it.
We're always sure a couple board members are there, and certainly Lee, and so on.
That's great. Farine, I think you have one more.
I also have a resolution, and the Division of University Development seeks the Council's approval to name the new university field at multi-sports complex at the $2 million level. So this is, we are asking the Council to approve the the level to name this field. And as George mentioned it again, our campaign is to name it for Bob Ford. And to date, we have over $1.2 million towards this effort. But the level of funding that we for naming for this field is $2 million.
How do we arrive at $2 million? That's obviously a very significant number. It seems appropriate to me, but is that because we're sort of matching up with an expected gift, or that we just think that's appropriate?
Yes. And we have a number of gifts in the pipeline that we are fairly certain that we will reach $2 million and go above and beyond. If you look at the formulas that are in place for naming a building or a field, this will be around $1.4 to $1.5 million. Right. But however, that's the floor.
Mm-hmm. That's what's your formula you use, half?
Excuse me?
What's the formula you typically use, half?
Well, because of the, in the private side, it is 51% of the cost of a new project or enough money to endow, so the 5% of it would pay for the operations
right.
of the building.
Right, right.
But however, because the cost of building a building at state is much higher, so that number varies from
the building. The Wix
right.
system.
No, I understand that. Right? Yes. I was just curious.
It's somewhere around between 25 to 40%. And if it's an older building, it really depends on the age of the building and such. We have on Wednesday, we have Wednesday night in New York City at the Union League Club. We have a small gathering of former college sports players. Yet this is yet another fundraiser. About 15 people are coming. And the offensive coach for Giants is going to be there because Coach Coughlin was invited, but he's out of town. So he's sending his offensive coach.
Okay. Great. Well, it certainly seems appropriate. Do we have a motion? Resolution.
So moved.
Any seconds?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Motion approved.
Thank you.
Good work, Farney. Excellent work. Fantastic. Pierre, on the bylaws?
Thank you. Last meeting we brought up the idea of having bylaws for the council. The bylaws that we could find out with other campuses, with Stony Brook, Cobeskill, Brockport. I was very pleased to have a working committee, and Abner took the ball on the bylaws and ran with it, and Nicholas gave some amendments. Mike took a look at them and reviewed them. So what you have in your packet is a starting point for the bylaws, whether it. Whether they're adopted or not is after everybody's taken a review, but perhaps Abner would want to run through them.
Everybody had a chance to look at them before the meeting, so I don't know whether we need to go over them article by article. But as Pierre mentioned, we basically took the best provisions from both the Cobeskill and the Stony Brook bylaws, and we also incorporated some provisions that were specific to the university, especially as it relates to non-voting members that Nick had made good comments regarding. And I think the bylaws remove ambiguities as far as leadership of the council. It basically creates an acting chair position in the event that the governor doesn't name a chair, and then basically formalize the vice chair and the secretary position. And unless there are any questions, are there questions regarding the
Highlighted sections
are the new provisions.
Oh, that's great. That's what
from what was distributed
for the first time.
For the first time.
Okay.
These are the revisions.
So we'll have mailed out a version last week.
Oh.
Revisions that Abner and Nick and Mike, did you make some too?
No, I didn't.
Abner and Nick, I think, particularly had some suggestions.
Yeah, yes.
We thought we'd highlight what they were.
Could you spend 10 seconds just going over the highlights over the last draft?
Sure.
Just quickly. I mean, I'm reading them. I just wanted to understand.
Well, last two are boilerplate.
Yeah, last two. That's what I figured.
You have to adhere to the laws.
Mm-hmm.
I think adhering to the law is a good idea.
Basically, under Article 5, we clarify that there would be 10 voting members. And then under Article 5, we added a new section, number 2, that basically added the president. Well, actually, it should be the chair. The chair of the university senate.
Traditionally, it has been the vice chair.
Sure. Vice chair, okay. Let's say vice chair.
Should we say representative?
Probably gives you more leeway.
Right. I mean, you know, we just hope that there will always be a vice chair, whether it's vice chair or chair, but I think we should just keep
say it. Say representative?
Right.
Okay, so instead of substitute representative for president?
All right, we can do that.
Or you can do the president or his or her designee.
That might be either the chair or his or her designee, only because we probably don't want to necessarily open this up to become a more contentious representation.
So can you say it again so I can get it down? What would the wording say instead of the president?
Who the chair of the university senate or his or her designee? Or the vice chair. Again, that predates me. I know it was the vice chair because that's why I'm sitting here.
Right.
So I don't, whether it is the chair or his or her designee or the vice chair or his or her designee. Or the council.
You get to choose.
Okay.
You are going to set precedent here.
All right. Wow. Power.
Okay.
Thanks.
So is your thought that you want to adopt these bylaws at this meeting, more review and comment, and at the next meeting, or what do you think, Pierre?
I'd leave it up to the adoption.
I'm good to go.
Questions or amendments.
I don't think this is
we can always amend it the next one.
Any other further questions or comments? I mean, it is a living document, as Pat and Rob note, and it can always be amended. I didn't look at the amendments provision, but there you go. So I think I would ask for a motion to adopt the bylaws as offered by Abner and Pierre and unofficially Mr. Stein.
I'll move it.
Any second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Good work, and thank you very much. That's
thank
a tremendous contribution.
It.
Well needed. Pierre, you're still on the docket, I think, with ACT.
ACT is in the process of updating their bylaws, so if you have any suggestions, we have the SUNY Board of Trustees bylaws that we're working with. We're also going to, as an association, again, seriously look at the bylaws. And some campuses are having trouble with out council members, resignations, deaths, etc., of even having quorums to do their work. So we're taking a look at that, and hopefully we'll have some drafts out to the board of directors for ACT. But bylaws seem to be the buzzword for the year. Hopefully you have received this. If not, you will. It has saved the dates for the ACT conference. This will be in Lake Placid from October 12th to the 14th. 3-day event, 2 nights. We've expanded it. We have, I think, a good theme. We hope to have councils present what their members have done at their particular councils that are unique. We'll be asking for the University of Albany to give some ideas and how we have, as council members, have participated. There's a number of things that are going on that other councils are doing, and we thought that it would be excellent to share a lot of those ideas. So that is forthcoming. We have sent out the scholarship to each campus. I will check with Chris to make sure that we have it here at the University of Albany. Last year, Michael, we had one of the scholarships was awarded to a student at the University of Albany. It's $1,000 plus $250 at their charitable donation. They're invited to Lake Placid to a nice luncheon, et cetera. So those scholarship letters are out. ACT will also be working with, and probably will soon have calls with the chairs and the board of directors on a procedure on appointments for councils or suggested recommendations for people to join the council.
There's a process?
We're developing. We're trying to develop a process. Well, we're trying to ask ACT to take, and councils themselves to take a more active role in. Right now, it's It's the president, it's the appointments office, and it's going to be somewhat centered with the liaison with the appointments office, which is now Jennifer Leterco, and we're trying to build a bench at a number of different campuses. We're trying to see how that goes.
Forget the president's involvement. It's the appointments office.
No, I understand. But the idea is to try to get a bench and to get some vetted before. So in the event that they're having a SUNY IT and purchase, they do not have, that's correct, they do not have a quorum. They do not have a quorum. So it makes it very difficult to name buildings, to carry on business, et cetera, unless they change the definition of the quorum. So
they don't have a quorum to do the amendment to change the quorum.
ACT has been asked to take a more active role in networking and...
has been asked by SUNY.
Correct.
Correct.
Well, we're working with the SUNY liaison.
Just
eight
members.
Yeah,
that
makes so a lot of sense. That's the association update.
Makes tremendous sense. Pat, you want to give an update on the search?
Well, okay.
Extent we can.
We're out there searching. And actually, many of you, as many of you know, since we last met, the search committee has met. And on our website, in fact, you should all periodically, if you're interested, check the website, is the job description, as we would say in business, or profile, as they say in academia, is on the website. And it's pretty long. It's about 15 pages, which, as I said, for those of us in business are like, what? But anyway, it's up. There have been ads placed in numerous publications, and the committee has met to review both initial prospects, and they've been organized for us somewhat in terms of people that the search firm has approached, people that have approached us. There's a whole laundry list. So, and we've gone through some initial review. That process is ongoing, and the search firm is continuing to contact people as well as get to know people that are potential prospects better. And then we will be having another meeting fairly shortly, in a couple of weeks or so, maybe a month, 3 weeks, I guess, in about 3 weeks. To really begin, I'd say, more of a winnowing process of reducing the candidates to a smaller list that we would actually start interviewing. So, George, I know you were talking about maybe a July date of someone new being here for the Giants. Forget it.
What year?
We didn't see what year.
That's true.
Right, that's right.
Oh, I thought he was talking July this year. My mistake. Okay. I have a feeling at the rate we're going that you're going to be around for this year's Giants practice here.
It's
going to
be
in
silent passes. It's good.
but it's moving along. I mean, it's something that. It's only going to go as fast as it can go.
Appropriately go.
So that's the update. To the extent there is information, as I said, it's posted on the website. Sorrel's very good about that. So, people can stay up to date by checking the website. And I think that's about all I can report on with respect to the search.
I know that we can say more, but did anybody have any questions on the search?
As far as the pool, how large is it right now? 10, 20 people?
Oh, it's more than 20, I'd say, at this point. But we haven't, it's, obviously, they've surfaced people, some of whom, obviously were rejected out of the box, including some alumni. But
You're walking in the line. I'll be the de facto counsel for you.
Most people at this point.
And I'm not on the committee.
At this point, the search committee is really just waiting for more information, I think, on possible candidates.
Okay. Anything else?
Just a couple of quick questions. What is do you guys think is the projected date that you think you'll have either a finalist or a definite finalist? Are you guys looking to have it done before the beginning of this upcoming academic year?
I don't think we have a projected date. I think rather look at it not from backwards forwards, but just prospectively. And I think, as Pat said, we've gotten a chance to look at the pool as the potential pools as constituted now. We have a meeting coming in June, next round, and obviously we're going to move as deliberately and as appropriately as we can, recognizing that. George, there are good times to have a new president come into place, right? And we would recognize all that we would all be well served if possible to have a new president in place by, for example, starting the next semester. But I don't think we can make any promises other than none of us doing it want to do it any longer than we have to, but we have to do it right. So.
And I think anybody new feels probably the same way, that that's a logical start time. But
I remember the end game of this. That would be very optimistic, wouldn't it?
We're all optimists.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Well, this committee. I mean, what'll happen is, this group does get have an opportunity.
Yep. There's a process, right? Because it goes. There's the search committee process, and then you are you're sending names. To the council to the chancellor, and then to the trustees, and so it's very linear.
It would take, that's what I'm saying, it would take
even just from
heroic
us to the trustees to get them to decide
to have this, because school starts last week in August.
1 month, 2 week to 1 month.
But I think, we're all cognizant of that fact.
Best you can.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I asked the question. So, assuming that it didn't happen at the beginning of the academic year, I guess my question is, what would be the transitional process? Would it be basically phasing the person in the middle of the year?
It's from a hypothetical.
And the problem with role-playing that kind of stuff is you can just open it up forever. And I don't know. We're not at that point where we're considering.
I don't think we know either what would be.
Out of curiosity, I didn't mean to throw a wrench in anything.
No, you're not. There's no wrench.
And the other thing is, I know the students who had been chosen for the search committee were the presidents of our respective student governments. We both, GSO and SA, have new presidents, so just making sure that they are reached out to so that they can replace our outgoing students as well on the search committee, so we have continued representation.
That's a little more complicated, actually.
That has happened before, and I don't know that we've always. I'll have to go back and look how that works. So,
graduate student, we kept the undergraduate.
Yeah, I remember
student,
that.
We switched.
Exactly right.
That's what we did last time.
And I know this time, at a minimum, I thought the graduate student would be staying on.
Heidi, right?
I thought she was done.
She may be leaving. Is she done with her degree?
Let me put it to you this way.
We'll find out. We have to find out.
Fair enough.
She's no longer the Senate student GSO chair.
Yeah, well, none of them have informed us that, so I guess we got to circle back.
Yeah, they were at the last, I was going to say, they were at the last meeting, weren't they?
Yeah.
So, it's a rough time. By virtue of the office.
No, it's not ex officio.
No,
it is not ex officio.
This was just them as people, I thought.
At what point do the new students take effect?
July 1st.
For us, it's June 1st.
Ours is in. He's
president. Not my bad, but I've done this a few times. The students are not there by virtue of their office.
That's correct.
They are selected members of the committee. They can choose if they graduate, and we've had students graduate in the middle of a search.
Stay.
And move on. Some stay, some move on. But it's fortuitous that the leadership are the students that we're on, but it doesn't necessarily have to.
I mean, look, the way I think about it is continuity is always important, and I think each of them hold positions where they represent
right.
both their, you know, whether respectively undergrads and grads, it would be incumbent upon each of them to meet with the organizations they work with, and I think come to some type of accommodation and come back to us seems to be the most appropriate. But we really haven't had that conversation. So... All right.
And it's been pretty clear for a while that it was going to go past
from the beginning. Always from the beginning.
Yeah, so.
Yeah,
in fact, we talked about it.
But I hadn't thought about it in a while. You're right.
Because I don't know about Heidi, but I know Zafira will probably be leaving Albany at some point. So just to make sure
that we have some sort of. If Zafira's gone, then.
Where is he going, Doug? Is he going to New York? He can join the crew.
Actually, he's interviewing with Lipton Brothers. The music guy,
mm-hmm.
I think he wants to go back to the city.
Okay. Most recently, the people who did Hunger Games, right? They did the musical. Avery and Hunger Games. That's a movie.
We have a few there.
That's how we're selecting the next president.
From Hunger. That's what you had last time.
It doesn't matter who it is.
No, there definitely will be, and it's
doesn't
a great point.
Who it is.
And we need to circle back with them. Anything else?
And
I know, Pierre, you have...
Prior to adjournment, I'd like to move that we go into executive session in accordance with Section 105H in open meetings law to consider a proposed acquisition, sale, lease of real property. I would move for an executive session.
You get a second for that?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so then I think only the statutory members.
Statutory and invited guests.
Turn off the tape.
And just remind me that when we're done, we have to come in out of executive session and adjourn the meeting. So. Okay, we're now back in full session. No action was taken in the executive session. And we can I get a motion to adjourn, please?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, second. Mr. Jackson, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay.
You got two.